Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight's the night that we just said praise God. We love him. We adore him. We magnify his name. We want to thank God for everything that God has done for us. Tonight's that night. And I just believe that all things work together for those of us that believe. And I would just like to call upon those out there who are listening on this Saturday night, because it's a good night. And because I want to read a scripture to you that I believe in my heart. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 4, it says this: who gave himself for our sin, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our Father. Praise God. What Jesus has done for us is more than what we can say or look or see. But as we live in this day and time, we have to beware of the fact to us that there is an enemy of darkness. And every time we take God's word, as I was preparing to say to some people, you got to know that you know that you know that you know. Because you got to know God for yourself through Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to get to know him is you got to first get. So let me say what the Bible says. If a man comes unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. Are there men out there who are in the sin syndrome, want to come to Jesus? You're in the worst place. It looks like you can't get here, can't get there. Jesus said, I won't cast you out. He said, come unto me just as you are and take my yoke and my burden. His yokes are easy. His burden. And all we got to do is say, yes, Lord. He's right there for us. And the day I had an opportunity today to ride in my community, and I rode in my community and saw the young people who said they was out here, stayed out here 40-some years ago. I said, look at God, there's a whole new community. It blessed me to drive on in. That's bada-bada-bada-bada. But God kept me. I said, well, progress will continue. It will continue. And I say this to everyone listening tonight. For Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. And when you come to know that, I mean, can you understand? And some people say, well, I just know that I know. I'm telling you, if you know that he sanctified us with his own blood, he suffered as hanging on the cross. As Jesus gave his life to us, why can't we praise the Father? He is worthy of it all. Can we do it? Shall we bow at his knees and love him? Yes, I can. And I want you to know, I want to put something on for just another 5 or 10 minutes, because at 8:30 I have a young lady supposed to come on, and I want her to hear what God has to say. Be right back. God bless you. Praise God for more of our blessing flow. Amen.
Let's open our Bibles again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we will read from verse 1 in talking about the gifts of the Spirit, studying the gifts of the Spirit. Today, we're going to discuss some of the mechanics of these gifts, what they actually are according to the Word, and the operations of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, before we move into these gifts, I want to make one notation here from verse 2. Let's notice something he said. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, or idols that cannot speak. Idols are worshiping things that have not the ability to speak or to minister to the people that worship it. Now, do you realize what category we automatically put the Holy Spirit in when we begin to say that these gifts are not for us today? We place him in the same category with the same dumb idols. The same idols that have not the ability to speak. If we are going to put the Holy Spirit in a category of where these things are not for us today, then we've placed him in the same place of the dead, dumb idols that the Apostle Paul said that these heathen people would worship. I don't believe we ought to do that, do you? I cannot bring myself to a place of placing the Holy Spirit in my consciousness and then getting that kind of a place. I can't do it if I listen to Jesus, because he said when the Spirit of truth has come, he'll lead and guide you into all the truth, and whatsoever he hears, that shall he also speak. Praise God. So we're not worshiping a God that doesn't know how to communicate. We're not worshiping a God that has not the ability to communicate. We're not worshiping a God that, for some reason or other, has ceased to speak to his people. You know what actually happened? We stopped listening. Now, that's the problem. He's been speaking all the time. We stopped listening. There's no problem with the transmitter. It was the receiver that was out of tune. Now, if you go out here and get in your car, turn on your radio, and you don't get anything on the radio, do you run in and call the radio station and tell them, say, your station's not putting out? No, of course not. What's the first thing you do? First thing you do is tune the receiver. You know the station is putting out. The receiver is the one that's off. Well, that's the way we've been. Now then, let's dig into these gifts here a little bit. Starting with verse 3, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So we are going to be talking in some cases here about men speaking by the Spirit of God. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts. The gifts are different. They're not all the same. There are times that they will work together. There are even times when they will work and be ministered all overlapping one another in the same motion. For instance, you can have the gift of faith, the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits, for instance. That thing can work all to a point where it looks like one ministration, one operation. You say, well, how in the world could that happen? All right, I'll tell you. The gift of faith begin to manifest itself in the person that's delivering this thing and empty him of doubt right there on the spot. And just as that began to move, the gift of faith receiving the miracle of the Lord and the discerning of spirits go into operation, and the man right then discerned the presence of an evil spirit operating in the person he's thinking that God's calling him to minister to. And then God, by the Holy Ghost, would speak on the inside of him and say, that spirit has been driving him to do such and such. That'd be a word of knowledge. And then God say, I want that spirit cast out because I'm calling this man into a work of my ministry. That'd be a word of wisdom. You see that? All working at one time, at one shot. And you just mind God and do what he said to do and begin to minister. The man get delivered and called and everything else. All one motion, you see. But there's several gifts of the Spirit operating at one time. Now, God may have something to say to the man after the deliverance is wrought and manifest in his life. There may be a word of prophecy come forth for that man. Why, you see, while you got your hands on him, when the evil spirit left, God may manifest the gifts of healing and heal his body from whatever that evil spirit was operating. Well, for us to come along then, you see, and take our little yardstick and divide these things up and say, well, now that couldn't happen because this and all. Why, that goes to getting foolish. Praise the Lord. These things are operating in order to make men free. And when we learn that there are different gifts, they are different. They're different in their nature. They're different in their operation. Actually, there are three different categories of gifts here. They're divided up in three different categories, or three of them in each category. One of them's power. There's three of them here that are power gifts. They display power. There are three of them that are revelation gifts. They reveal. And three of them are utterance gifts. They're spoken with the mouth. They come forth through the mouth. So you see, there are differences of gifts. But now that's not all there's differences in. There are differences in administrations. There are differences in administrations, but the same Lord. There are differences of operations. Now, what he's talking about here is simply this. The gifts are different. The ministries are different. And the operations are different. Now, we just talked about the differences in the gifts themselves. Let's talk about the difference of ministries. These gifts operate predominantly in people called into what we labeled as the fivefold ministry. They're ministering tools. They operate predominantly in men that God has called into his ministry. Now, they don't operate entirely there. What you and I label as the laity, there's a lot of laymen that the gifts of the Spirit will manifest themselves through. There are men that are not called as apostles or prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers, but they are called to the working of miracles. There are some men that are set in the church as such. And you'll find as you study the lives of different ministries and so forth, that there may be a ministry of helps, like a man in the deaconry of a church, or in a man that's an elder in a church. Well, now you know good and well that the elders operate in the gifts of healings quite a bit, because the Bible says if there's any sick among you, let them call on the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them of oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So you can see faith going to operate in these men. But they do operate more predominantly. They are the tools of the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher, because they are the things that God has put into his hands and into his life in order to do his job. Now, the Bible said that God gave gifts unto men. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the perfection of the saints, and for the work of the ministry. Well, now you can see that that agrees right in the same line with what it says these gifts are for every man to profit withal. See, for the edifying. The Bible says in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. So these tools would operate predominantly in the life of a man called into an office of ministry. But now he said there's differences in administrations or differences in ministries. We can see that. You would know that a man called into the evangelistic office and a man called into the office of prophet would operate in a different manner. A man that's called into the office of evangelism predominantly is ministering to a different group of people than the man called into the office of prophet. Not that the prophet is not an evangelistic ministry. All of them are evangelistic in their nature. The whole body of Christ is evangelistic, but that office of evangelist, you'll find operating in his life and ministry more predominantly than anything else the power gives. Now you look at the life of Oral Roberts, the power gifts. What would that be? Gifts of healings, the gift of faith, see? Things that produce power, things that express power, the working of miracles, and the life of most evangelists, men that are actually evangelists. Now there's a lot of guys going around calling themselves evangelists, not evangelists at all. There, you know, a lot of fellas just run around one church to the next, looking for a way to make a living off Christians. And that's not evangelism at all. And actually, most of those men don't have anything working in their lives. There may be some of them do some good, but actually don't. They just call themselves evangelists because that's the only thing they know how to call a man and not pastor in a church. Now, you know that situation exists, and so do I. And actually, some of these men are called to different ministries. But you see, most time, folks, if we don't get in line with what God has called us and go before God and find out what that calling is and then begin to operate according to the New Testament by faith, then the gifts of the Spirit won't have the opportunity to operate at the kind of proficiency that God has called us to, because you'd be out of the will of God. There may be some manifestation of it. Maybe enough to let you know that God's trying to use you in that way, but not to the proficiency that a man's called. Now, most men have had a hard time receiving a call to a prophet's ministry, a call to an apostolic calling, or a call to anything other than pastor or evangelist or teacher. They won't even let you call yourself that in most religious circles. You call yourself an apostle, and everybody run off. Or call yourself a prophet, And man, they won't take you out and hang you from the light post, you know, or something. I mean, it just seems like that's a dirty word. Looks to me like men should be privileged to be called a prophet. Should be privileged to be called as an apostle. You know what that is? If we're going to stand up and call a man a prophet, then we're going to have to be obligated to what he says. And then it won't be obligated to what anybody says. After all, we're paying the guy to do our spiritual work for us. And we don't want him talking ugly. We'll cut off his salary, you know, and things like that. Most missionary calls, it's strange how we've been able to just put it in reverse of what God called it. God put the apostolic calling right up on top of the list. We rubbed it out with our little imaginary eraser, did away with it, and put the same calling down on the bottom of the list and called it missionary. Put him on the bottom. Sure don't want the fellow to ever have anything. All missionaries have got to be poor. Well, they're not really missionaries. All missionaries have got to be about half hungry. They got to be in love with some kind of a foreign nation nobody can understand. And they got to be a doctor along with it or something else, because the word of God's not enough in those foreign lands. Well, it sure isn't if you're just going to try to make Presbyterians out of Africans. It won't work.
you get a Presbyterian that don't know any more about the Word of God than any other Presbyterian. Unborn again men make lousy believers. You follow what I'm saying to you here? Hmm? There's not any reason in the world why a man shouldn't have his needs met right in the darkest middle of Africa or the top of a mountain somewhere in the Himalayas as he does on Main Street, any country or any town in the United States. But you let some fella get on the foreign mission field and buy a new suit of clothes, why cut off his support? After no bird living like that. God forgive us for some of that stuff, but we've done it, haven't we? And I was kind of amazed. It was something A. Allen said, and then thank God he said it. He said, you know, you folks send $1 million a year to Africa to minister to the black man, and I minister to him in the United States, and you put me down for it. He's right. He was right in saying it. Praise God. Now, I brought all that up to say this. The differences in ministries have some differences in the tools that they use because of the atmosphere that that ministry is called to. Now, you know the prophet in the Old Testament was called a seer. Now, the reason he is called that is because he could see things. He knew things. He knew things that would have to do with the future plans of God. He knew things that would have to do with certain things around them that would affect their lives and ministries. Well, now, you know, if you would see then that the prophet operating with, you know, in the atmosphere he's called to operate in the first place, the prophet is not called to operate out in the midst of the world. He's called to operate amongst the people of God. See? He's not out there functioning around all of the heathen world. That's where the evangelist is functioning primarily, you see. Thank God God's got somebody to function everywhere if we just let him put his men in their right roles. But the prophet, you see, is in there giving the people insight into the already established Word of God. Now, the apostle, for instance, he is liable to go into a place where the Word of God's never been heard before and establish the doctrines of Christ among the people, get them born again. Now, then, as this begins to move, you see, then God will raise up an evangelist right in the middle of those people, call him right out of those people, and he'll begin to move out from there and win people to the Lord and begin to preach the doctrines that the apostle of God came in and said, this is the way the Lord Jesus Christ set it up. And then God call a prophet in there and begin to minister to these people and begin to give them additional insight into the Word of God that's already been brought forth. Man stood up here and preached, said this is the basic fundamental doctrines of Christ. And then the prophet come along behind him and said, now let's expound on these basic fundamentals of Christ. We'll show you some things that God's wanting to reveal to you people now because you've grown during this time. And here you have a pastor, see, that's operating here, and he is seeing to it that these things are carried out and operated in after these men are gone. Boy, it works. But each man, you see, is operating in a different atmosphere, a different set of conditions. Praise the Lord. So the prophet, would naturally, you could understand that he's going to have most of these revelation gifts operating in his life. Now, we're going to see in these last days, in fact, we're seeing it now, men that are operating in more than one of these callings, and men that are operating that have been promoted by God. I've been promoted by the Lord, and I've had one or two other ministries added to my ministry while I was in a ministry. In fact, this happened to the Apostle Paul. We talked about it already. He was operating as a prophet and a teacher. The Bible said so. But down at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers at that church fasting and praying in the 13th chapter of Acts, ministering to the Lord. And the Holy Ghost spoke and said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to. And the next reference that the New Testament has to Barnabas and Saul, it says the apostles Barnabas and Saul. So you see, thank God, God promoted those men, didn't he? What about the deacon, Philip? Here's a man called into the deaconship of the church. He got out there and began to preach the gospel and operate as a deacon. He waited table just like he's supposed to. And later on, the Bible said that they went down to the evangelist Philip's house and said it was the one that used to be the deacon. Glory to God. God promoted him from deacon to evangelist. Praise the Lord. Amen? Huh? Well, now, you know, he was operating in a certain amount of the power of gifts when he's operating as a deacon. He went down there and preached in Samaria, praise God, and all kinds of revival broke out down there. Well, you can see God calling the man into the office and going ahead and finishing him off and equipping him to operate in that office. And great miracles and signs and wonders were done in their midst. But then right on the other hand, wouldn't have come when it comes to get folks filled with the Holy Ghost, wouldn't have come to set some other men down there. He didn't know how. Did you know that there are more than 9 gifts of the Spirit in the New Testament? Now, these are 9 ministering gifts that are laid out here, and they are predominant, but we don't shut the Holy Ghost off at 9 gifts. Do you remember when Peter spoke to a man that had come up in one of Philip's meetings and offered money? Peter said, your money perish with you. You remember this situation? Let's review here on what the man said. Some folks said he tried to buy the Holy Ghost. He didn't do any such thing. Sometimes, folks, we're going to have to get where we read the words. Read the words that are printed on these pages. Not what we think those words say. Or what somebody else said they said. But just simply read the words. It did not say he came up and said, take my money, I want the Holy Ghost. That's not what he said. He offered money and said, give me this gift. Now right there, most people just quit reading and said, well, he must have been wanting the gift of the Holy Ghost. And somebody preached it that way, and you didn't take time to read it. You just said, okay. That's not what he said. He said, give me this gift, so that upon whomsoever I lay my hands, they shall receive the Holy Spirit. Now, can you see what he was wanting? He wanted to be able to lay his hands on people and they'd receive the Holy Ghost. But now, his desire was all right, but his motive was fouled up. And the funny part of it is the man had already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible said he was a believer. But now, if you'll study about this man and find out a little bit something about him, you'll maybe have to dig into a little bit of history and find out a little something about this old boy. But he was a false prophet. He had set himself up even back when Jesus' reputation was being spread across the country, and he had called himself God. And said, you know, and he did things. He was a witch and a sorcerer. And he did things that looked like miracles. And he presented himself as such. And he said, that Jesus that's operating over there, you know, in this other part of the country, said, that's my son, and I sent him. Now, that's what he'd been telling folks. And you can see now what he is after. He's fixing to tell some folks when he laid his hands on him, he sent the Holy Ghost, too. He got trouble over that.
Sure will.
Boy, he come around pretty straight too. He said, "My God, pray for me. I don't want that happening to me." But you see, he talked about a gift. Now, where do you suppose he found out there was a gift of laying on of hands for people to receive the Holy Spirit? Well, those two men came down there from Jerusalem to teach the people concerning the Holy Ghost. And after they got through teaching them the Word of God, man, they were receiving just right and left. Well, evidently they had taught concerning that gift. Now, it operates on the same basis as any other gift of the Spirit. You see, the gifts of healings is not the only way to lay hands on people and they receive healing. There is such a thing as just following the Word and following Jesus, where the Bible said the believers shall lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Just simply doing it by faith and having God honor the faith of a man. But there are gifts of healings that operate over in the special manifestations of the grace of God. Jesus told Ananias to go lay hands on Paul. Yeah. And he went down there and did it, and Paul received the Holy Ghost. He said, Paul, I've been sent, even Jesus spoke to me today and said, told me to come down here and lay my hands on you and that you'd receive your sight and the Holy Ghost. And he did. But now Jesus didn't say, I'm giving you the gift of laying on of hands, people receive the Holy Ghost. He just told him to go down and lay his hands on him. He went and did it in faith and honored God, and God did just what he said. But now the Lord stopped me one afternoon in my hotel room and said, I'm adding this to your ministry, that you'll go about and lay hands on believers and they'll receive my spirit.
Praise the Lord. From all blessings flow. Praise God. Hallelujah, somebody. Praise God. Are you there? Hello.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go ahead. You're on air.
How are you, Apostle? How are you doing?
I'm blessed, and you?
Amen. Blessed.
Praise God. Amen. Go ahead.
Well, thanks to everybody for coming to the line tonight. I just pray that God's word go forward in the name of
Amen.
Jesus. I lift Jesus up in all that I do because I know that there's nothing I can do without him. I thank him for
Amen.
His word. I thank him for his presence in my life. I thank you that my heart is turned to him and my ears are his, and everything that I move and have my being in him, and everything in me is because of him. I thank you, Jesus. I pray that I shall decrease so that your word may increase in me, and that understanding may come forth in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Tonight Amen. I wanted to begin a teaching on soul ties. I know that I can't do it all in one night, so I kind of broke it up a little bit.
Take your time. You got the time. Do it.
To start off tonight, my first scripture I'm coming from is 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. It says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Soul ties are defined as the emotional trauma associated with sexual immorality and ungodly relationships. Whether between friends or couples, they are ties from one person's soul to another person's soul. Soul ties are intimate bonds between human beings. Sometimes two people, sometimes more than two. In a relationship, God intends us to bond together through him, not for a relationship to become bondage to either person involved. We know that inanimate objects cannot have relationships, only human beings. God has made us and put us to have relationships one to another through him. Our relationship begins through him. First, our first and foremost, most important relationship should be the one that we have with him. And once we have that relationship with him, it stems to other people, to have godly relationships. Because that's what God desires for us, to have godly relationships in him. When you become joined to someone to the point where you feel as if you can't live without a person, or they're constantly on your mind, that's a soul tie.
Mm-hmm.
In the Greek, the word join means glued to, cemented together, you know, become one. If we understand this definition, then you understand why God speaks about when a man and woman marry, they become one flesh, as it was meant. It is a covenant relationship and agreement between God, man, and woman. Ephesians 5:31 reads, for this reason, a man will leave his father and wife and be united to his wife, and the two will be. Sexual immorality runs so rapid in this day and age.
Amen.
same belief that you have, who stands on the word as you do, not saying that everything is going to always be peachy, you know, but if you have the same belief system, you're starting from somewhere. You know, so it's important that we yoke ourselves up with believers and not just anyone, because the connection that you make is serious. Being in a covenant relationship is serious. When we give ourselves to anyone outside of the covenant, we create soul ties and leave pieces of ourselves with that person, as well as take on pieces of them to us. We all have carried on the world's way of thinking when it comes to this, when we were in the world, thinking if I love this person, then it's okay to share myself, which is furthest from the truth. We must put on the mind of Christ and his way of thinking and being. For even though we are in the world, we are no longer of the world. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We know that we have to renew our mind daily. It's a daily walk with Christ, renewing our mind. We have to renew our minds through all things, not some things, through every situation and circumstance in our life. Our way of thinking needs to be connected to God's will for us in order for us to think properly, you know, and have good thoughts. But the word says to keep your mind on heavenly things, to the right hand of the Father where Jesus is, you know, because we're no longer children of the flesh or children of the world. We're children of the Spirit. You know, so we have to continually renew our minds and walk in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Soul ties are not only sexual in nature. Sometimes we find that we make bonds with people in friendship that are not of God. And when you idolize or try to constantly imitate a person, that's a type of soul tie. That's an ungodly relationship, friendship. So we have, because
this video explains the key elements of your bill and is complimentary to you.
That's all right. Teach on.
Ephesians 5:1 says, we must be imitators of God. He is the ultimate example of what it is to walk in this flesh. We should never, you know, God gives us examples of people here, but ultimately our perfect example is Jesus. We should always look to him for of how to live and how to think, because he knew what it was to walk in his flesh, and he lived on this earth without sin. So he is our example to go by daily, on a daily basis.
A friendship
should never be to the point where it becomes the center of your world, the center of your being, because God should always be the center of it all. Jesus should always be the center. God wants us to have godly relationships, but it should never overtake you to where you feel like you just got to be around this person, or that person is constantly on your mind. You know, either with friendships or with a relationship, if you're constantly thinking about that person, or you find yourself always drawn to them, knowing that the connection is not, something is not right, you know, deep down inside, the Holy Spirit will convict you and tell you something or give you some type of warning. And if you don't take heed to that and you're constantly drawn to that person, knowing that it's an unhealthy situation, that is a soul tie.
My God.
1 Samuel 18:1-3 speaks about Jonathan and David's friendship. They cared for each other, looked out for one another, but it did not overtake them. They still had their relationship and their growth, growing and being obedient to the things of God. It didn't hinder their walk with God. But they were connected in the Spirit through their friendship. We also can develop ungodly soul ties through witchcraft. You know, visiting psychics and readers and fortune tellers and reading your horoscope, things of this nature. We open ourselves up to demonic soul ties. connecting ourselves in the part of the spirit realm that God does not want us, because you're opening yourself up to things that are not of Him with playing with these things, burning candles. And like someone, a family member that I know in Louisiana, with her son was in a place of bondage, and he had a real bad drug habit. So she felt like going to this place called the Carmelites, is where the nuns pray. And she went there and burnt candles and had the nuns pray for him, and she thought that was the way. But we know that's not the truth, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. And only through him can we get to God with our prayers. And he is our great intercessor. So there's no other way to get through our prayer life but through that. So, in life sometimes we get so caught up in the way that the older people may have done it. I know living in Louisiana, you hear all kind of stories of little things that people did to call themselves trying to reach God, yes, or keep a man at home, or stuff like this. All this kind of stuff, that's witchcraft. And you open yourself up to the demonic, and then you're wondering why you can't rest, you can't get peace in your life, because when you open yourself up to that, unless you repent and turn from that and ask God to take it from you, that follows you, it's with you. You open a channel to the demonic.
Yes. I'm going to teach us to teach.
So we have to be careful of the things that we allow ourselves to get connected to, familiar spirits and demonic visitation. Satan uses these things, and witches uses these things, to abuse things and make you believe it's unharmful and everyone does it. So it's okay. It's okay if you do it, because everybody do it. But his whole purpose is a wicked purpose, an entrapment to keep you caught up in your own bondage.
Yes.
Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So if you trust him, then you will not allow yourself to get caught up in these things. Now that you've come into the understanding and the revelation knowledge of who God is, knowing that God doesn't want you to be bound up. Because how can you move in the things of God if you're bounded? He desires for us to be free to move into the things of him. And you can't do that if you're bound up, So, with God, it's a step at a time. We all know everything doesn't come at once. Once you give your life to Christ and begin a relationship with him and build a relationship with him, he will begin to show you things in your life that he desires for you to let go of. And those things are usually bondage and soul ties. Because when you give so much of yourself to others and you leave pieces of yourself with them, you stay connected to them in a way that is not of God. The word says that Jesus says some things can only come through by fasting and praying. So sometimes even fasting and praying, you gotta get before the throne of God and pray and fast and ask God to remove these connections from you from the root. Sometimes it's important how you pray it. From the root, God, remove these things from my life so that I may move in the things of you. Submitting to God is always the most important thing. We have to submit to God through all things. Submit our minds, our bodies, our will, and our emotions, because we don't want to be run by emotions, because even the word says our heart is such a deceptive thing. Only God can direct our hearts. If we give it to him, if we submit ourselves to him so that he can have his way. We must trust God in his direction. He can tell us what we need to know in his appointed time. We don't have to look to psychics and readers and horoscopes and all these other things and for God to answer the questions. I mean, for someone else to answer the question that God can tell you directly. If you take the time to search him and get before his throne of grace and mercy, God desires for us to be free in the things of him. So all the connections and friendships that we make, we have to be careful of these things. Because, we all know that some people come as an entrapment into your life, but not necessarily to edify and encourage your life,
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be careful what we connect ourselves to. That's with everything. We should pray for direction and with everything that we do. God should be in the midst of it all. Every decision we make, he should be in the midst of it so that we know who we're connecting ourselves to, the vows that we take with people and the agreements that we come into, you know, because there's power in agreement. We know that the word says that there's power in agreement. So we have to be careful what we allow ourselves to agree to, you know. You can't just agree to any and everything. If you're not getting before God to speak his direction for every situation, God, is this what you're calling me to? Is this a person that I should be connecting with? You know, and even those who are waiting for their husbands or their wives, is this a person that you are calling me to connect with in the spirit? Are we equally yoked? Ask God these questions to make sure that you're connecting to the right person. You know, and before that, before you can even connect to anyone, allow yourself to be healed and delivered and set free. And let God do what he has to do in you so that you are prepared for the person that is to come. So that you're not carrying with you the things that will hinder your relationship with that person.
Amen.
You know, because sometimes we can carry our baggage is, which is soul ties, into another relationship. And how can it make it if we don't allow ourselves to be healed and set free? We can't jump from one friendship or one relationship to another, never allowing yourself to be healed, you know, because you're going to continue to carry that, and then it turns into something else, you know. God wants us to be free from these things. Because how can you help another if you don't allow him? Because only God can do it. Only Jesus can do it, heal and set you free. Nobody else can do that for you, but you have to submit and allow it to be done.
Amen.
I have a co-guest with me tonight.
Go right ahead.
Minister Diana, do you have anything to share with everyone? Hello, everyone. How are y'all doing this afternoon?
We're blessing you.
Wonderful, wonderful. One of the things I want to share with Soul Ties, concerning Soul Ties, although the actual word is not in the scriptures, but there's a lot of things that lead to godly living, like the Lord says in one place, that be ye holy as I am holy. Or he talks about in Galatians 5 about the different things that we should not be walking in and how we should walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5. I think it's Galatians 5. Yeah, the envy and drunkenness and carousing and adultery, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger. All those are works of the flesh that come from immorality, impurity, indecency. That's all part of soul ties. And even in 2 Timothy 2, it talks about fleeing youthful lust, because when we flee youthful lust, then we could stand in agreement with what God's word says about us. In Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when we renew our mind concerning the things of God, it's easier, so to speak, to walk out of the bondage of soul ties. And soul ties is something that many of us grew up being familiar with, because it has to do with developing relationships. But if we develop the relationship in the wrong way, according to our environment, according to what we were taught as children, from our own homes and neighborhoods, lots of times we don't know that we're walking in a soulish realm and soul ties. And we learn later in life, oh, that was a soul tie. I didn't know that was a soul tie. No wonder I felt funny. It's an unholy alliance that we have. But we live in a day and age where knowledge is free. And so when we seek the wisdom of God, it's no excuse, in other words, today, for anybody to be walking in ignorance of anything concerning the Word of God, because everybody has a Bible. If you don't have one, you know someone who does. And we could search the Word of God as to how we should live and how we should be. You know, not saying that that we should judge him by what they choose not to do that way. No, Jesus said in his word that he loves everybody, sinner and saints alike, and that we all fall short of the glory of God. But what I am saying is that that we should no longer use an excuse where I didn't know anymore, because the word is available to everybody. The word of God says here that if we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit we have in our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, not kind of controlled by the Holy Spirit. Let us not be vainglorious or self-conceited, competitive and challenging and provoking and irritating one another, envying and being jealous of one another. You know, so sometimes soul ties are based on our behavior, of our understanding of things. But Jesus said, but the word says that if we live by the Spirit, we should also walk by the Spirit. So that means that the Spirit is always available to us for us to live right and to be right in Him. So living with soul ties has to do with what kind of relationship we have with God. Because if we don't have a kind of relationship we need to have with God, then it's easier to develop a soul tie with another fellow human being. David did it with Bathsheba when he saw her on the porch. He could develop a soul tie with her, and even to the point where he committed murder. And a lot of people don't like to talk about it, but that was an unholy alliance at that time. She was married, and so was he. Now, did he ever make it right? Yes, he did. He repented, and he lost his son in the midst of it. But that relationship, that bondage, the soul tie relationship, was broken when he repented, and God gave him grace, you know. So we need to see things the way they really are. And the Bible is full of examples of soulish ties and a wrongful living and things like that. Like Dinah, the sister of the sister of Joseph, was raped, which was created a soul tie by the man that raped her. But, you know, it was unholy alliance, and what it created was a murder of the men in his nation by the sons of Jacob. You know, so if we could come to a place and understand that soul ties create consequences that we don't always want to acknowledge or be a party to, then we could live a holier lifestyle, more pure lifestyle. You know, and that's what of holiness and a lifestyle of oneness with Him, you know. The other thing I like to share about soul ties is that soul ties come from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, simply because we don't take the opportunity to seek the wisdom of God concerning any relationship that we should be a part of. Matthew 6:33 says, "To seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and His ways of doing things, His way of being, and all these other things would come beside." You know, so when we speak the right relationship with God, He's going to speak to it that we have the right godly relationship with other people, and that we have less likely a chance of having a foolish God.
Amen. Thank you very much. So I'm going to close with this. God, Ephesians 4:17-24 reads, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learn. When you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. God desires for us to walk in His holiness, in His righteousness. So I leave you with, think on the things that you have walked through in your life, the connections that you have made in your life, whether with people, things, and even burning with candles and reading horoscopes and all these things, and the relationships that you have had that have caused you so much bondage, and you can't figure out why you can't pull away from this person. What is it in your life that you have connected to that has caused you so much grief? Ask God to reveal to you what it is God wants you to detach and cleanse yourself from in this time of your life. And then next week we'll discuss different types of soul ties. Amen. So I pray that as I end tonight, that those who are listening, that you open your hearts to what God is saying in this hour so that healing and deliverance can come forth. You know, so he can reveal to you what it is. Think on what it is that he wants you to let go of at this very moment of your life so that you can walk in the fullness of Christ in this season of your life. In the name of Jesus, your mind and your heart is open to what he's saying in this hour. Get before his throne and ask him to reveal what it is he is saying to you right now, this season, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Well, you know one thing tonight that I give God the glory, I give him the praise because of what Jesus Christ has done for us and through him. And it's a known fact. We can do nothing except we come to Jesus to go to the Father. Mm-hmm. And what you taught tonight was outstanding. And I was looking back over my life and say, at one point in my life, I wondered what you just talked about, because the more wisdom we get in God's word, the more we can see the knowledge of God's word, and the more we can understand God's word. So I would ask y'all that's on the radio right quick to turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Does anybody have?
Colossians chapter 1.
And verses 10.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I say. Can you read it for me, please?
Yes. It says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God.
Amen. That's what I leave with you tonight.
Amen.
That's what I leave with you tonight, because I know He's given you a great, great ministry. And I'm listening to you teaching. You pause before you say the word. You pray, and you make sure it's of God's word. And I love that. And to that sister that was on there with you, God bless you, young lady. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what you say our name was?
Minister Diana.
Diana, may God bless you and keep you, and may God give you the anointing to do what God has called you to do, because in this day we live in, we need more warriors like you young ladies. We need more warriors. We need more men who are going to stand and fight for their wives and get that soulless tie away from what it is. And I just thank God for what you said tonight. And anybody got anything you'd like to say on the radio? I praise God. I thank God for you tonight. The line is open. Go ahead.
Thank
y'all. I want to be thanking y'all for being on the radio. Now, I want them to know, anytime you got somebody that's in Louisiana, Oklahoma, Chicago, just tell them what time you're on a Saturday night. It's Central Standard Time. And they can come on and you can have a great discussion. Tonight was a great, great, great thing, what just happened tonight. And y'all just don't know how y'all made my life become vibrant, more vibrant. And I want to thank God for y'all. And as I always say, I love you. I love you. I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. I see you on the next side. God bless you.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.